I think when you've been privileged to live over in the Holy Land, some of these things take on a much greater impact. Do you remember when our Lord cursed Capernaum, Chorazin, and Bethsaida? Well, if you stand at Capernaum, which is in Lawrence, and you look up the hill, you can just make out Chorazin, which is being dug up by the Israel Exploration Society, because it's in ruins. And you look across the top of the Lake of Galilee to where Bethsaida was, it's just flat. Few signs of buildings having been there. It's very impressive. Remember what our Lord said? You know, you will be disappeared, you'll go. And compared to him, you're standing right there looking at the ruins. Now, talking about the temple. The temple was the center of Jewish life. It hadn't always been. There were local shrines at one time. Then Solomon built, so the second king built the God's house. And we have that beautiful prayer in 1 Kings 8 where his prayer of dedication, it was the pride of Israel, destroyed, rebuilt. A miserable excuse for a temple. You remember in Esdras it tells us they'd come back from exile. The older people who had seen the other temple, when they saw this miserable excuse for a temple, just started to weep. But the younger people who had never seen the other temple were thrilled to death that we have a place to worship God. And the author says with great poetic understanding, the cries of mourning and the cries of rejoicing mingled with one another, and you couldn't tell one from the other. Ambiguity. And then, this temple in our Lord's day, and you could still see the steps he walked on, they're still there. Big, beautiful thing. And Herod, who was a master builder and a master, you know, extraordinary, built cities, and, you know, he built this thing. It was not exactly quite finished when the Romans destroyed it in the year 70. And if you go there today, what you have on the site of the temple is the Mosque of Aqsa and the great shrine. It's Muslim. In other words, there will not be left one stone upon another. It's right there to see. Now you remember at our Lord's trial, the fact that he predicted this was one of the reasons they threw at him to get him crucified. He said the temple would be destroyed. That was in the year 70. Our Lord was killed 30, 33, 35, somewhere in there. But you remember they made the same charge against Stephen. The temple. He's preaching against the temple. Why am I saying all this? You see how real God is? God become man, stood in front of that temple. I've stood there. I've been on the steps he walked on. And said, this will not last. And 2,000 years later, that pronunciation over that temple still remains. That was God who said that. God is real. When he says things, they happen. Now, how many times has he been warning us? How many times has the Mother of God come to visit us and tell us the same thing over and over and over again? Pray the rosary. Do penance. The world has turned from God. There could be great suffering. Great destruction. Pray. It's for real, folks. It's for real. Whenever I read these texts and I think of them, because I lived, I could almost see the Mosque of Aqsa from my window. I mean, I was right there. Like, it makes you think, you know, this isn't all religion, you know, something to calm your soul in days of trouble. This is reality. So we should turn to the Lord and pray. And as I mentioned Sunday night, they're going to be voting on the health care bill. I think it's Saturday. If one or two people change their minds, it won't go through. Isn't that worth a rosary a day? Isn't it? Something will happen. Our prayers are never unheard. We don't ask the Lord for stuff and he says no. Never. What's going to happen? That's up to him. But you see, what I'm trying to point out is this: the thing about biblical religion, Jewish and Christian, is that it's real. It happens. It's not, you know, sit on the floor and breathe deep and you'll have 30 seconds of eternity. You won't anyway. But what's 30 seconds of eternity? When God himself has come in a human nature, spoken to us, loved us, healed us, embraced us, died for us, rose for us, gave us a new and eternal life. That's for real. So when's it going to happen? Well, it happens lots. When you have what they call an eschatological moment. When are we at one? We probably are. Is it the end of the world? I don't think so. It's the end of our world. But God is not finished with the human race. Out of mercy, but he has to chastise us or let us go to darkness. You'd think we'd be smart by now, but we're so stupid. And we're so fixed on our own ego and our own pleasure and our own whatever. And my gosh, we're the cream of the crop. Imagine what the rest is like. So pray. Not only about the health bill, but pray that the Lord touch many people. Pray for the gift of evangelization.